Appreciate our singing this afternoon as well as this morning and the well-worded prayers we've had in our worship services so far today and so many who are here with us this afternoon as we continue to worship God and sing praises to Him and to study His Word together. I want to study this afternoon from the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 18. If you would turn to this passage, we're going to be looking at, I believe, one of the unsung heroes of the Scriptures of the Old Testament, Micaiah, the prophet. When we think about the prophets that are worth any note or that stand out in the Scriptures, sometimes we think of the ones that have written books that are a part of the Old Testament Scriptures. Think about Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, as we studied this morning. But there were many prophets that did not contribute to the canon of Scripture, but still played a very important role in God's scheme of redemption unfolding and helping God's people, some playing a role that lasted for quite a while, and others appeared just very briefly on the scene. And that's the case here with Micaiah, the hated prophet. In this chapter, we have Jehoshaphat entering into an alliance with Ahab, the king of Israel. Jehoshaphat being the king of Judah, a good man, but Ahab being the worst of the kings of the northern kingdom, Israel. And Jehoshaphat foolishly enters into an alliance with him, agrees to go with him to attack the Syrians at Ramoth-Gilead. And it is there that Ahab is going to lose his life. But there's a third man in this chapter that plays a prominent role, and that is Micaiah. Men of character earn our respect, and Micaiah is such a man. He found himself in a situation that no one would want to be in, but his courage and his faithfulness in this situation sets a great example for us to follow today, especially as we are standing for the truth. Either as a gospel preacher, which not just myself, but there are a number of men of this congregation that go to Waverly every Lord's Day to preach there, or throughout the month, different Lord's Days, different Sundays to preach there. Having been there this past week, I know the congregation there appreciates the men so very much for going and doing that work. They're looked upon very highly by the congregation there and appreciated very much for their efforts. So this is a sermon that would help those who preach the Word or who teach the Word, or especially those who are sitting across the kitchen table from a friend, trying to lead them into an understanding of the truth and encouragement to obey the gospel, or talking with a co-worker trying to defend the truth as they are holding to or espousing false doctrine. All of us can learn from the example of this prophet of God. There are three things that I want to point out, three things that we find to be true throughout Scriptures that especially come to the forefront as we look at his brief appearance here in the book of 2 Chronicles. The first thing that we see is that men who speak the word of the Lord are going to be hated. They're not going to be hated by everyone, but they're going to be hated by those who prefer error. In the book of 2 Chronicles, here at chapter 18, we see at verse 3 that Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead?" And he answered him, "I am as you are, and my people as your people. We will be with you in the war." Also Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please inquire for the word of the Lord today." Now, he got this out of order, didn't he? First, he should have inquired the word of the Lord and seen what God had to say about this matter before he agreed. But he foolishly agreed and allied himself with Ahab. And then, almost as an afterthought, let's see what God has to say about this. Inquire the word of the Lord. Verse 5. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" So they said, "Go up, for God would deliver it into the king's hand." That was the message that came. This is interesting. Verse 6, but Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not still a prophet of the Lord here? that we may inquire of Him? There's something about this. Jehoshaphat was catching on. There's something about this. These men aren't really prophets of the Lord. They're not really given a message from God. How he could tell, who knows. But he knew. He could tell. And he asked, is there a real prophet here? Is there someone who will really tell us what God has to say about this endeavor? So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there's still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say such things. I hate him. Why did he hate him? Because he always prophesied evil about me. He never said anything good about me. He never dawned on Ahab, or perhaps it did, and he didn't want to accept it, that Ahab needed to straighten out. He needed to change. There was a reason that this man of God was always saying something negative about him, but he didn't want to change. He just didn't want to hear from this prophet any longer. He hated him. I don't know of anyone that really, truly enjoys being rebuked or corrected. It's never fun. It's never enjoyable. No one likes having their faults pointed out or their sins exposed. But that's exactly what the Word of the Lord does. We had, as our reading a few moments ago, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. I would like to look first at chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice that the preacher is charged by God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. There is to be that positive that is done, but there is also with the Word of God, as it is being read and as it is being taught and proclaimed, there is to be that more negative instruction that is going on, that reproof, the rebuke, the correction that is offered by God's Word, which is to be beneficial to us. It's profitable to us as it makes us complete or it makes us perfect. Nonetheless, the truth of God's Word will continue to be hated by those who are in sin. In the book of John, the Gospel of John at chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, and Jesus began to teach him about spiritual truths and spiritual realities, and Nicodemus wasn't ready to hear it. He wasn't able to understand it. But Jesus proceeded with his teaching about spiritual matters and about darkness being sin and light being truth. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Why is it that sinners have a problem with the Word of God, those who do? Why is it that they ridicule it as a book of myths and old fables? Why is it that it is rejected? It's not because of the book itself. It's because of the message. It's because it condemns sin. It exposes error. It exposes sin and condemns sin. And so it's going to be hated by those who love sin. The person that loves darkness hates the light. The person that loves sin and error hates the Word of God. And Jesus would go on to teach His apostles, not only do they hate My Word, but they're going to hate you for proclaiming My Word and for following My Word. In John chapter 15, as He is speaking with His disciples, here as they are walking towards the Garden of Gethsemane, they have left at the end of chapter 14, at the beginning of chapter 15, and they start walking. In verse 18, John chapter 15 and verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, Therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And the apostles went on to be faithful to their charge to take the gospel into all the world, but every one of them died because of that, save John, according to tradition. But he was exiled to Patmos, and he suffered persecution for his faith and for his role in spreading and defending the gospel. Micaiah was likely brought forth from prison to speak before Ahab as we go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. He was certainly sent to prison after he delivered his message with instructions for him to be mistreated there. If you look down in verses 25 and 26, here Micaiah has not only told the king that he's going to die, but he's also exposed all 400 of those prophets as men who are lying to him in an effort to get him to die, that they are playing a role in his demise. And it says in verses 25 and 26, then the king of Israel said, take Micaiah and return him to Amnon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return in peace. He was mistreated for what he said. He was hated by the king. We're going to be hated as well. As we stand for the truth, we're going to be hated and we're going to be mistreated, but we must do like Micaiah and we must stand for the truth. It's better to have the Lord to be pleased with us and the world hating us than to be friends of the world and enemies with God. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Something else we learn from this man's brief appearance in Scripture, Micaiah had to be faithful in his preaching. I want us to look here, beginning at verse 12. Remember, here's the two kings. The one, Jehoshaphat, is asked, is there a prophet? Can we find out what the Lord says about this? And all the lying prophets came forward. No, yes, go and prevail. And is there another one? Yes, but I hate him. But he's called all the same. So while they're waiting for him to show up, these 400 false prophets, they put on quite a show before the two kings. In the meantime, look at verse 12, then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encouraged the king. Therefore, please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak encouragement. You see what he's telling them? You're being called up. You need to say what they have said. You need to say encouraging words to the king. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever my God says, that I will speak. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain? And he said, go and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. He goes along with what everyone else has said. He's saying what everyone else is saying. Go ahead. They'll be delivered in your hand. You shall prosper. And look at verse 15. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear that you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Ahab knows Micaiah is lying because he's agreeing with all the other false prophets. So he says, how many times do we have to go over this? You tell me the truth or I wouldn't have called for you. If I didn't want to hear it, tell me the truth. Then he said, here's what Micaiah says, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil? When he talks about all Israel scattered like sheep with no shepherd, their shepherd Ahab is going to be gone. He's going to be dead. That's the message that comes from God. That he will not survive, that he will die. And how does Ahab respond? He doesn't say, well, we shouldn't go. The word of the Lord says that I'm going to, what does he do immediately? He says, see what I told you? He never says anything good. He always says evil about me. It's interesting how Ahab had this give and take with Micaiah. It's something that had happened again and again. They called for Micaiah. They told him to say one thing, but he made it clear to that messenger, I can only speak what God has given to me to speak. The goal of those who preach and teach the Word of God is to present the truth, not to please those who are listening. Preachers and teachers are to be judged according to their faithfulness to the truth, not to their ability to please their listeners. If our desire is to please men, we need not pursue teaching or defending the Word of God. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians, chapter 1 and verse 10. Galatians 1 and verse 10. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Did you see that? If my desire was to please men, the last thing I would want to be is a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't please men, the people of God, by being a bondservant of Jesus Christ. But that's not your goal as a bondservant of Christ. That's not your goal as a Christian. That's not your goal as a gospel preacher, Bible class teacher, whatever it may be. Your goal is to please God, to please the Lord. And the only way you can do that is by being faithful in conveying His Word to other hearers. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4, Paul tells Timothy, the evangelist, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You've been enlisted, Timothy, by the Lord. You need to please Him. That's your first priority. If our desire is to please others, God's truth is always going to be compromised. Like the prophets of old, preachers are responsible for faithfully delivering the message of the Lord, and they are to preach it without fear and without favor. In Ezekiel at chapter 2, as God is calling the prophet Ezekiel to his task, which is going to be unkind to him, it's not going to be a pleasing or a pleasant task. In Ezekiel chapter 2, starting at verse 3, and he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, and they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, or be dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. They need to hear my word. They're not going to like it, but you speak it. Don't be afraid of what they say. And don't be afraid of how they look at you when you're speaking the word. You don't be afraid of them. And the word is to be preached without favor. In the book of Numbers, chapter 24, verses 10 through 13, the prophet of God is told to come down and to curse God's people. And the prophet made it clear, Balaam made it clear that he could only speak what the Lord told him to speak. Numbers chapter 24, verses 10 through 13, then Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and look, you have bountifully blessed them these three times. Now therefore flee to your place. I said I would greatly honor you, but in fact the Lord has kept you back from honor. So Balaam said to Balak, Did I not also speak to your messengers, whom you sent to me, saying, If Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord to do good or bad of my own will. What the Lord says, that I must speak. That was true with the prophets of old, and that's true with us today as we are teaching and preaching the word of God. we come into a situation in which we find someone who is in an unscriptural marriage. And the temptation there is to try to find a loophole, try to find a way around the truth of Scripture. But no, we must simply speak what the Bible speaks. Point them to the Scriptures and let them see what God's Word actually says regarding that matter, regarding baptism, regarding the one true church, whatever it may be. Whatever it is that they have to offer us is not worth compromising the truth of God's Word. We are to speak it, we are to preach it and teach it, we are to defend it without fear and without favor. And third, a third thing that we learn from Micaiah is that although he was in the right, and although he was in a position to be harmed, to be persecuted for what he was doing, Micaiah never tried to defend himself before Ahab, Jehoshaphat, or before the 400 prophets. Let's go ahead and read a good portion of the rest of this chapter, starting in verse 18. Let's read verses 18 down through verse 27. Now remember what has happened. Micaiah has come, has spoken a favorable message. Ahab has rejected it. No, you got to tell me the truth. And he does. And see, he hates me. He only speaks evil against me and never good. Then Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on His throne, and all the host of heaven standing on His right hand and His left. And the Lord said, Who will go persuade Ahab, king of Israel, to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord said to him, In what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, You shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Then Zedekiah, son of Chenaniah, went near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way did the Spirit from the Lord go from me to speak to you? If I've got a lying spirit in me, it's in you now. You're the one that's lying now. But that was after he hit him, after he struck him. And Micaiah said, Indeed, you shall see on that day when you go into the inner chamber to hide. You'll know who's speaking the truth. On that day that the king falls and the Syrians come pouring into your city and you go running into your chamber and hide underneath your bed to save your life, you'll know who was lying and you'll know who's telling the truth. Then the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah and return him to Amnon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, Thus says the king, Put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and water of affliction until I return in peace. We read those two verses a moment ago. Notice, Micaiah said, If you ever return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, Take heed, all you people. Micaiah has told the truth. And he's gone on to expose not only what's going to happen to Ahab, but to expose all of the prophets as being liars, as being false prophets. And he begins to suffer as a result. He's physically struck. He is commanded to be put into prison, fed meager meals, the bread of affliction, the water of affliction, until Ahab comes back peacefully, which will never happen. Will never happen. And this is the last we read of Micaiah. God was set on Ahab's punishment, and Ahab, and allowed Ahab to be deceived and encouraged by his false prophets. Micaiah rebuked Ahab, but he also exposed the prophets that were encouraging him, that were bringing down Ahab's downfall. Micaiah suffered from the hands of these prophets and from Ahab. But notice how he responded. How he responded to this. Micaiah was only the messenger, and although he suffered at the hands of those who hated the message, he never tried to personally protect himself. He never made it about him. Micaiah's reply was really, in essence, we'll see who's right. We'll just see what happens. We'll see what happens and we'll see who is right. You know, that's exactly the test that God gave for determining who a true prophet was. In the book of Deuteronomy at chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken, the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of him. If Micaiah was the one that was lying, and the 400 were telling the truth, Ahab would come back in peace. But if Ahab died in battle, which he did, then it was Micaiah who was telling the truth, and the 400 were lying. How much trouble is done by those of us who try to defend ourselves, try to right the wrongs that have been done against us? How much turmoil is caused by those who will start a crusade to try to defend themselves instead of simply letting things unfold? The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 17 that he was appointed for the defense of the gospel, not his own defense. The only time we read of the Apostle Paul defending himself is when his apostleship is called into question and doubted, which would undermine the truth that he taught. But he never defended himself personally. Think about the Lord. Think about the Lord. Think about the times that the Lord was mistreated. Think about the times that things were said about him or done to him. But yet, when was it that he made that whip and he drove people out in anger? It was when his father's house was being reduced into a merchant's shed. It's when God's honor, his father's honor, was being maligned. That's when he stepped up, and that's when he made a defense. It was never about himself. It was always about the Lord. Same thing is true with the Apostle Paul and the other apostles as well. We are going to be wronged from time to time. People are going to hate us because we stand for the truth. And sometimes people are going to hate us because of other reasons. But it's not a time for us to champion our own defense and try to draw people to our side and try to right all the wrongs that have been perpetrated against us. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Do we have to defend ourselves? When people say things about me from time to time, they have. What do I do? Do I need to take to the Brotherhood papers? Do I need to take to the internet and defend my honor and defend myself? No, I've never cared much for that approach. This is the reason why in Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." And again down in verse 20, "Therefore by their fruits you will know them." The servant of God does not have to defend himself. His work will speak for itself. Your faithfulness will speak for itself. Just allow time and see what happens. Just like Micaiah said, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Then we'll know who's right. We need to take that approach as well. People can say things about us. People can do things to us. But it's usually pride that causes us to want to react. It's usually defending that pride that causes us to want to react and to defend ourselves. And we know that pride is one of those avenues of temptation, one of those ways that Satan can get us to commit sin and to depart from the Lord. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, The Apostle Paul gave these brethren who were suffering for their faith, they were suffering innocently, suffering for doing what was right, told them what the Lord was going to do about it. The Lord hadn't forgotten about them. The Lord was going to take care of it. 2 Thessalonians at chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. God will right all the wrongs. God will avenge His saints. We may not see it in this life, but we're promised in Scripture that God knows, and that God cares, and that God is going to make it right. It's not our place to do that. We simply live the Word. We preach and teach the Word as best we can, and we let God take care of us as we take care of that matter of business. The Bible is full of all of these unsung heroes of faith. We have our Abrahams and Moses and David, those who have a prominent role in Scripture, but we also have these individuals that appear just for a brief moment of time, just for part of a chapter. And yet when they show up, they're there for a reason. They teach us some great lessons. And Micaiah is no different than that. What do we learn from Micaiah? We learn that those who are in sin are going to hate those who stand for the truth. And if our desire as Christians is to please wicked people, we're going to be the ones who are miserable. Those who claim to speak the Word of God must speak the truth. We cannot compromise, we can't be bought, and we can't buckle under fear. While we must be ready to defend the gospel, we must also be willing to let God defend us. Let us convince those who can be convinced, and the rest will have to stand before the Lord without excuse. We've done what we can to teach the Word. I thank you so much for your kind attention as we've used this individual as an opportunity to be reminded of these truths. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we're going to offer it at this time. Perhaps you need to obey the gospel. Stand forward and confess your faith. Repent of your sins and be baptized in water to have those sins washed away. We'd be glad to help you and assist you with that. If you become unfaithful and need to make things right in a public way, we'd be glad to help you with that as well. If you're overwhelmed and you need our prayers, we'd be glad to pray with you. Whatever your need is, let it be made known by coming forward as we stand and sing this song.